Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Well, hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker, and I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a great show planned for you tonight. Let's go ahead and get started without further delay. Let me go ahead and welcome Lady C, all the way from the United States of America. I guess I can say that. We're broadcasting all the way out of Tijuana. Matter of fact, I'm looking into the mountains right now. So, Lady T, it's always a pleasure to have you on tonight's broadcast.
Hi, everybody. It is a pleasure of being here tonight. I am looking forward to seeing what the show is going to be about and to hear everyone's opinions and thoughts.
All right. Well, we're certainly looking forward to your contribution as well. Let's go ahead. Ms. J, all the way from PP, the state. Georgia, and the city of Atlanta, the outskirts thereof. Welcome to tonight's broadcast, Ms. J.
Thank you, and hello, everyone, and I'm so glad to be back on the show again. And Dr. Walker, it's about time for you to come home. You're vacationing. I mean, come on. But that's okay. We're here again where Dr. Walker's not just telling stories but changing lives.
All right. We certainly appreciate that, Ms. J., and we'll be back in the United States for the next show next week. We'll be back in, we'll be in Florida, as a matter of fact, to bring the next show live. All right, let's go ahead and bring in Benny from the block. Benny, it's always a pleasure to have you, sir. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening, good evening. I'm coming to you live from Asheville, North Carolina, in the beautiful mountains, Blue Ridge Mountains, to be exact. So I'm excited to get started.
Awesome. Welcome to Asheville, North Carolina. Beautiful. I know it's beautiful there. I know it is. Let's go ahead and bring in Lady Lynn. Lady Lynn, are you there with
us? Good evening. I am. Happy Thursday. Glad to be with you. Glad to hear all my co-hosts tonight and looking forward to the show.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. We're so glad that you're here with us. Once again, I want to give this information out there that the service over here is not really good. I'm sorry, you all. I'm here at a window and hoping that, you know, God help us out, you know, keep the circuits going. It's just the towers apparently are not up as good, even though I have a special service, but it doesn't always work. So if we do go out through the technical difficulties, it'll send me a signal that the signal is very weak or low, and that the phone service is likely to go out. And please, you all, I'm going to ask that you stay on or call back in, but I'll continue to try. And if you're not able to, you know, if you don't hear me in or one of the co-hosts take over, then chances are within 3 to 5 minutes, then that means the service is not going to cooperate. But we'll try to get through it as best we can. We're only here for an hour tonight. So I'm glad that everybody's here. Tonight's topic is financial tips on improving your lifestyle and your credit portfolio. So it's two factors here. Improve, and before we get to tonight's story, we're talking about improving your lifestyle, your not just your lifestyle, but financially. And we're talking about improving also your credit portfolio. Lady Lynn, let me begin with you and ask you, is it really that important to have a financial lifestyle?
It is just as it's important to take care of your health and your emotional state and your mental state. It's also important, and your spiritual state, of course. It's important to take care of your financial state, so absolutely.
Well, having said that, Benny from the block, how about your credit portfolio? Why is that so important? I mean, what if you got a, you know, you got these three major credit reporting agencies, and they're saying, well, if you got a 600 or a 610, that's low. But 600 seems like a lot of points out of a possible, perhaps, a perfect score. Why is that, a credit portfolio so important in your opinion?
Well, your credit score and portfolio is pretty much your greeting cards for every type of business, no matter what you're doing, what you're looking for, a house, apartment, credit cards, loans. That is your calling card, your greeting card. That lets people know if you're financially stable to be able to pay back the loan. So we should protect our credit scores with all due diligence. That is probably one of the most important. The first being your Social Security number. The second one being your credit score. That is probably one of the most important things that you can protect and keep it as high as possible.
Lady C, let me bring you in. And speaking of credit, Lady C, do you think that having a credit portfolio that's pretty good is important? And if so, in your opinion, why is that so important?
I do agree that having a credit portfolio is very important, you know, because, I mean, it's the key to getting you whatever you want. It's like it tells people I can trust you with a loan, you know, just like Benny on the Block said. You know, I can trust you with a loan. I can trust you with a car. I can trust you of getting a house. I can trust you with, you know, anything you pretty much want, because it lets them know that you have the means to take care of it.
All right. So let me ask you this, Lady C, while I've got you here. If, say, your friend, I'm your friend, and my credit is not so good, but I want to get this Lamborghini. Can you co-sign for me, Lady C? I know you love me as your friend. I mean, couldn't you just help a brother out? Co-sign for me?
I will tell my friend no, because just as well as I have worked hard on getting a great credit score and maintaining that credit score, she could have or he could have done the same.
Well, so how are you going to help me out, Lady C? I want to buy a Lamborghini, and my credit is not good, and I need you to co-sign for me. So you'll co-sign for me? It's
no.
It's only $1,000 car.
No, because, like I said, I would say no to my friend.
Wow. We're going to ask you to stand by, yeah. Lady C. Okay, let's bring you in. Welcome to tonight's program, Lady, Miss J. Okay, Miss J, I'll downsize from a Lamborghini to a Range Rover. Come on, Miss J. My credit score is not that good. Can you help a brother out? Loan me $10,000. I'll pay you when... You know, hey, when the going gets good, and plus co-sign for me, okay?
Number one, I'm not a bank, and I'm trying to keep, like they said, keep my credit score where I can do and live comfortably and get what I want to. And I'm not even for a Road Ranger. Say that I can't even afford that for myself, so why would I co-sign for you when it's possibly I may end up having to pay your note in order to keep my credit good. So that's the worst thing you could do is to co-sign for someone like that.
But, Miss J, I thought you loved me as your friend. I mean, doesn't that make a difference? You know, where's the love, Miss J?
You know what the love's going to be? I'm gonna take. We're going to get together, and I can find you a debt specialist or somebody that can work with you and help you to know what you can qualify for. Because I think the best help I can give you in love is to give you some help to help yourself to do better.
Well, you know what? Okay, I'm going to switch over now to Benny from the Block, because I know Benny from the Block got my back. Benny from the Block, I need this $700,000 house. I'm only making $45,000 a year, but I know that you're rolling because you're in North Carolina right now. And I'm saying, listen, man, can you just – they need a $50,000 down payment. My payment's only going to be $2,200 a month. Listen, man, I got a vision. I'm going to open up a business one day, and, man, look, I got you. All I need you to do is bite me off for $50,000. Man, you know I'm good for it. We've been friends from early childhood, been in front of the block. What you going to do for me? I know you got my back.
I just need to get your credit score, your Social Security number, and a promissory note, and let's go.
Oh, okay.
And I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna tell you like the people tell you at the bank when you or in the car dealership or wherever you buy your car from or whatever you're trying to do. Be sure to pay for it, because if not, I'm gonna end up having an extra piece of some item from you. So.
But see, Benny Francois, it's okay to give you my Social Security number, because you can't do nothing with it because it's fraud if you use it. And then to give you some other stuff that you asked for, that's okay because it's fraud. So if I can get over on you the first time with the $50,000, I mean, it's like, okay, I lost my job. Now we fast forward. I lost my job, can't pay for the house. They're about to go in foreclosure. But it's like, you know, it's going to take at least almost a year for them to get me out of there. Okay, it messed up your credit, but we're friends. Don't that mean something?
Yeah, it means that when you fall into hard times, I'm going to come and get that stuff that you had. I'm going to fix it up, and I'm going to close, and I'm going to make my money back and some of yours, too.
Right, but can you, like, pay my note every month and I get back on my feet? You know? Benny Francois, remember, we're childhood friends. So would you pay my note until we get back on?
Well,
I get back?
Well, that's why they wrote that song, "That's What Friends Are For."
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go ahead and welcome Ms. T tonight. Ms. T, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Always a pleasure to have you with us.
Hey, welcome.
Okay, well, thank you. Tonight, if you're just joining us, tonight is Financial Tips on Improving Your Lifestyle and Credit Portfolio. Lady Lynn, do you think, okay, say we're Christian brothers and sisters. You know, if your brother is down, Lady Lynn, shouldn't you help your brother or your sister out? Because I'm on that, I still want that Lamborghini. So, Lady Lynn, you're like, what's wrong with Coach Town? Isn't that, I mean, you know, you're helping someone in need, Lady Lynn.
I'm all for helping someone in need. A Lamborghini is not a need. That would help you get a Honda or something that's more in your price range. It's what's best for you. It's not about what you want, per se. It's what's best for you financially. The Honda will help you build your credit, and then in the meantime, you get a better job or a windfall, then you go ahead and get your Lamborghini.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by, Lady Lynn. Before we go into the story tonight, Ms. J, I'm going to bring you back in there. Ms. J, I do not want the Honda. I want the Lamborghini. Ms. J, come on now. Come on.
Listen, you asking me for help, so you can't tell me what you want. I will help you, like Lady Lynn was saying. But, you know, I'm going to get, you know, we're probably going to find us a used car somewhere for a couple thousand dollars. That'll get you from point A and B. So, you know, you have to get what you can get. Because what's your purpose of wanting a Lamborghini anyway, you know? And you can't afford it, no way. What about the upkeep and maintenance and all gas and all that? So, you know, no. I would be foolish to put money on you like that.
Miss J, if I need to borrow money for gas, I'll let you ride in the car once in a while.
Listen, you ain't my child. You my friend. But I'm not going to support you. I will help you find a job. I will do that. That's what a friend would do. Matter of fact, I give you the best reference you can get and not help you find a job. I will get you a job. And you can pay for your own gas and whatever you need.
All right. We're going to ask all of you on stand by. We're going to really go into tonight's story. So the point that it sounds like we take from that part, that portion of it, financial tips on improving your financial lifestyle and your credit portfolio, the part that I'm getting from everybody is be careful who you co-sign for. Okay. We're going to ask you to stand by. Josh and Kelly, these are our characters in tonight's story. They're both in their early 40s, have been married for 17 years. They have three teenage children, all in high school. They have a very loving family and have been in financial ruins for the past 12 years without a clue on how to get out of it. Their children have always attended public school and have all been honor students, which also requires a great deal of materials to maintain their status. Now, Josh and Kelly have professional careers with excellent income, but they find themselves in serious debt and can't understand why they don't have a financial portfolio that includes over $7,500 in savings. Now, one of their challenges is that Josh has a serious spending habit where he believes in buying anything the family may need at any time. Kelly has argued against this practice for years and has only fallen on Josh's deaf ears. They don't have pension plans on their jobs, and they're not saving in any type of investment portfolio. As you're getting older, this has become a major concern for both in terms of money for their future retirement. Now, without a financial plan or portfolio, their insurmountable debt is actually starting to cause problems in their marriage. If Kelly insists they get some help because she feels they're underwater and drowning in debt. Kelly has now fallen into a deep depression and finds herself crying every night over this same situation. Now, Josh does not have a clue on how to get his family out of this financial mess and restore the joy that they once had in their family. Being from the board, let me begin with you and ask, why do you think it took so long for Josh and Kelly to realize they were headed for financial disaster? They've been married 17 years, and for the past 12 years, they've been drowning in debt. Why did it take so long? Our staff Benny from the block is not there. Let me go to Lady C. Lady C, why do you think it took so long? All right, Miss J, let's bring you back in. Miss J.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes,
can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Hello? Well, you know, for one thing, you know, these 17 years and then after 4 or 5 years they got serious in debt, they were just out there trying to live the life that they really couldn't afford. And so they found themselves in debt. Like you said, Josh, he liked to spend a lot of money, and they were just out there spending, not doing what – can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Okay, not doing what I call two things that I always go by, stay away from and plan. And they didn't stay away from all that unnecessary debt, and they didn't stay away probably from a lot of credit cards. And obviously they did not plan. Like you said, they had no pension and nothing to save it for the future. So, you know, and that's something you need to start young anyway. So they really started off for planning for their future and planning for a good lifestyle very poorly.
All right. Let me bring Ms. T in. Ms. T, let me bring you in. Ms. Teresa, let me bring you in and ask. Ms. Jay mentioned about planning. I mean, at 21, 30, 40, who thinks about retirement? You think you got 100 years before you retire. The word retirement even sounds old. So why do you say you need to plan?
Because I agree with what the sister said right there, and that Proverbs say a fool in his money shall part. So you always have to plan, but you always incorporate God's plan for your life in your finances as well by giving a faithful tithe, 10%. And I'm not talking about tithing from the net. I'm talking about tithing from the gross, because the IRS going to get what they going to get before you get it. You have to always
right.
give God, and he blesses your
right.
finances.
As a matter of fact, we're going to be speaking to you tomorrow morning. God have a financial system for us here on earth. So we're going to be talking a great deal about that tomorrow night. Let's go ahead and bring in Sister Marva. Sister Marva, thank you for joining us. Sister Marva, do you think planning is necessary for your financial well-being now and in the future?
Yes, sir. Good evening, everyone. You need to plan, but I tell you the truth is it doesn't really come to you until you're maybe in your 30s or 40s. It comes to you that you need to plan something because, fortunately, most employers will tell you about planning, but I'll say this to you in Proverbs 6 has a whole bunch of things about spending, And the first verse, I won't take long. First verse says, my son, if thou be sure, I'll be quick. This is answering the first question that you asked earlier. I wasn't able to get in. But if thou be surety for thy friend, my son, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, and you're going to be like a role to a hunter. So don't find credit for some people.
Sister Marv, we're going to ask you to stand by. Lady Lynn, I want to come to you now with some practical tips. We're familiar with some of the Bibles, the scripture things, right? But we're still finding that there's a lot of people who have been going to church forever. All right, perhaps Lady C's not there. Miss J, let me bring you back in.
No, I am here. Y'all on. I am here. You blanked out. So all I heard was perhaps Lady C's not here. So I didn't even know you called me an A.
All right, Lady C, let's bring you back in. We're looking for some practical financial tips on improving your lifestyle. Give us one. Now, earlier said you got to be careful who you co-sign for, and it might even be a good thing Ms. J said, don't co-sign for anybody. Give me another financial tip on improving your lifestyle and credit portfolio.
It's learning how to save your money, you know. You know, say if you make say if you make $100 a day, or just say you bring home $2,500 on your bills, okay? I mean, $2,500 on your check, like say a month. That's gonna probably be the average that a lot of people make, okay? And your bills, all your bills cost, let's say $2,000, okay?
Okay.
Try to save $100 of those dollars and put it away, you know? Because if you save $100, that will be $1,300. I mean, if you save $100, if you times that by 12, that's $1,200 a year that you've already saved.
Right. That is beautiful. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for, we're looking for some practical that people can employ, they can put into use right away to help them. Ms. J, thank you, Lady C. Ms. J, let me bring you in here. Give me another practical tip, a practical tip that people can send a point that may help them with their financial lifestyle and their credit portfolio.
Well, one thing I know that messes up young people, and it starts off when you're young, messing up your credit, getting all these credit cards. You don't need but one good card. And once you put something on it, don't ever put more on a card that you can pay off that month. If you start that practice, I know you want things, but you can wait till the next month. Don't ever put more on that card that you can pay off that month. That way you won't, and don't have but that one good card, you know, having all these department store cards and all this. All that's not necessary because you just overliving your means and you can't pay all that off. So you just have to curtail your spending.
All right, so here's another financial tip that I'm hearing from you, and that is live within your means, and I heard that earlier also. Live within your means, and then maybe have one financial card that you can certainly use, and that can even be a debit card. Then in front of the block, are you familiar with debit? You're familiar with debit cards, and explain that to our audience, if you would. Then in front of the block, can you hear me?
Yes. So a debit card is basically just another form of a check. Debit cards have pretty much replaced checks and in some cases cash. It does not necessarily build credit for you in terms of credit cards, Visa, MasterCard, but it is a great way to utilize your money to be able to get things. And you know, just keep your money under control and be able to monitor your money. Now, the one thing I was going to add to it is, since Ms. J was talking about young people, if you are a person that owns a business, and I'll just give you 10 seconds, I own a business. And so what I did was I took my daughter and my son, and I put a credit card through the business. I put their names on the credit card. So every time I buy gas, it came through the business. And so over the course of 3 years, they have almost like perfect credit scores because I put their names on the car and I allowed them to build credit before they ever had an opportunity to do a work. So that's a good way to start your children on having excellent credit, but you just got to make sure you pay that bill on a regular basis. And I use my debit card to pay that bill on a regular basis.
Okay, so in other words, what we're hearing from here, another financial tip is you went out and you got a credit card for your business in your kid's name. Is that what I'm hearing?
It's in my name, but I put both their names on there as authorized users, even though they don't drive or have a car. So I was building credit for them through my business and through my name, but for them.
That's excellent, excellent. You all, if you're just joining us tonight, we're talking about financial tips on improving your lifestyle and your credit score. Lady Lynn, let me bring you in. Ms. T, we're going to come to you next. Lady Lynn, let's look at another financial tip. So we're recapping here. We talked about being mindful of who you co-sign for if you decide to co-sign for somebody home. I think that can be, you know, even though I couldn't get anybody to really co-sign for me for a Lamborghini or the house, and Benny from the Block wanted my life history in order for him to co-sign for the house. So, I mean, these are all good tips that everybody's given, because it can certainly infringe on your lifestyle and put you in debt, put you in harm's way when you do all of this stuff. So you can't blame anyone when they're talking about, even if you're the close friend or relative. You know, so lady, Ms. T, let me bring you in. I understand friends, but if you got a family member that's saying, hey, sis, co-sign for me, what do you think? Is there a difference? Ms. T? Our pastor, Ms. T, is not there. Let's go to Ms. Teresa. Are you there?
Oh. Okay, I thank you. I'll say it quickly. I'm sorry, and forgive me, but I don't think that any plan can go forward without God in it. And I'll go back to the tithe, because without even Dave Ramsey, the most prolific financial guru in the country, talks about tithing, even when you are trying to get out of debt. So with the situation that you presented, we're just supposed to, the Bible says, freely give, freely receive, freely give. And so it's
right,
okay to help people, but I understand that you have to use wisdom and not you know, do the co-signing and whatnot.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to Alabama. We're going to go to Jack. Jack, thank you for joining us this evening. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. Financial tips on improving your lifestyle. Jack, let's look here. I can understand that you may not want to co-sign for a friend to get a Lamborghini, but what if it's your family member, Jack? If I was your brother, you know, and I wanted a $67,000 car, and I'm only making about $37,000 a year, Jack, and you're kind of financially stable, would you co-sign for me, Jack?
Well, now, in the point of my life where I am now, maybe it's, some years ago, I probably would have easily done that, knowing the fact that you're my brother and everything. But now I would have to pray about it and all. And if he's directed me not to sign for you or co-sign for you, then I wouldn't do that, even though you're my brother and all. And like you said, you're only making $37,000, and the Lamborghini is $60,000. So I'm trying to put all of that together. Will you be able to afford it? Because I know what happened to me one time. I know what happened to me where I did do that for a family member, and I had gotten bitten on that too. But at that time, I didn't know what I know now. I didn't know the Lord like I know him now. So I had to take everything I do now, I had to take it before him. And that's not being
all right.
What is.
Amen.
We're
going to
have
to
stand by. Lady Lynn, I want to bring you in. Do you have to pray about it to to actually co-sign for me? Is that what you got to do?
You talking to me?
Lady Lynn.
Say the question again.
Lady Lynn. Okay, I'm trying to get the Lamborghini. I'm trying to get the Lamborghini. It's a $67,000 car. And now you're my sister. I want to know if you got to pray about it to co-sign.
You still got to pray about it regardless of who it is, but also you have to use wisdom. If the car costs $67,000 and you only make $30,000, there's no co-signing for you for that.
Yeah, that's it.
If you've already done your calculations, we're going to ask you to stand by, Lady Lynn. Ms. J, let me bring you in. Ms. J, is that something you got to pray about?
You know, I'm going to pray that God give my brother understanding that he cannot afford a Lamborghini, and that he pray for my brother, and Lord, let him understand that if he needs a car, I help him to get one that he can't truly afford. Mm-hmm. That's my prayer for him.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pray for me to do it because God gave me wisdom and knowledge to know that that's a foolish thing to do.
If you want your brother to get the Honda or the Hyundai, whatever, how it's called, but the brother wants the Lamborghini. So
I'm going to pray for wisdom for my brother, but he can understand. I'm going to pray for him.
I'm just not telling you all, that makes more sense, what you just said, to pray for your brother, because if you all ask me, If somebody gave that scenario, they make a $37,000. They want a $67,000 car. That's not even, to me, God has already given me the wisdom. I don't even have to pray about it. The answer is straight up no. Jack, I mean, do you feel me on that one? I mean, that's something I got to pray about. If anything, I'm going to pray about.
I feel you on that.
I'm praying to God to open up your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Jack, help me out with that.
Yeah, I can see.
Well, you have to remember, God doesn't think the way we think. The woman that Elijah came to, she had just enough meal and oil for her and her child. And Elijah said, give me that first. Our knowledge would have said, oh, no, I'm not giving you that. I don't need to pray about it. I know that I don't want to die. I don't want my kid to die. I want to do this. But God revealed to her to give it to Elijah, and she did it, and God blessed her for it. So our understanding is not God's understanding. What we would go to God about is like, God, this doesn't make any sense. He makes $60,000, he makes $30,000, he wants a $60,000 car. I don't think it's right to give it to him. I do not want to give it to him. What do you think? And then let God direct you. The Bible says in all our ways acknowledge him, in all of our ways, not some, not most, not what you think you know, in all of our ways acknowledge him. So acknowledging God, there's nothing wrong with that. You're just telling God, some of us reason together. So you're telling God, okay, God, I don't think I should do this. This does not sound like a good idea at all. This is actually not a good idea. This is a dumb idea. What do you think? Or what do you, going to God about
everything.
All right, Jack, let's bring you back in, Jack. And the question now we're saying God has already given us the wisdom. This is just my opinion, you all. But God has already given us the wisdom. You do the calculations. I mean, I don't see that going. It's just me, you all, and I'm just whispering this over here. It seemed like what made more sense in terms of prayer was what Ms. J said. I'm going to pray for my brother's eyes to be open. Jack, do you, and I heard Lady Lynn, what she's saying, it's a real dumb idea. For her, she's saying it's a dumb idea, but God, what do you think? If you're going to God and saying it's a dumb idea, God, you've already kind of formulated that. Jack, do you take that to God and say God is dumb? Then why are you going to God about it anyway then? Why are you going to him about it?
Here's the thing, though. Our ways are not God's ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. So we're to go to him. Now, someone else may have said that, but I'm saying this. I would have to take everything before him because that's where I am now with my faith, walk now. I would have to take things that might seem minute, things might seem so simple. But, Lord, I mean, I'm coming to you because I need you to direct my path. So others may not be to that point in their life that they have to take everything. But for as I'm concerned, since I'm walking by faith and not by sight, I'm taking it, I'm giving it all to him and let him direct me. Not what I'm doing, not as Jack, but I want to do this, you know, from his standpoint, and he will direct me. It could be something simple. It could be something simple.
So Jack, let me ask you this question. So assuming that you're married, Jack, and you go to God and somehow you feel impressed to co-sign for your brother to get the Lamborghini, and your wife is totally against that, but you're saying, well, God kind of like encouraged me to go ahead and co-sign for him. And now it's a conflict with your wife. What are you going to be like that?
Well, I don't. God is not an author of confusion. He's not an author of confusion. He's not going to allow. He's not an author of confusion. So we both would have. Now, first of all, when you came to me, the first thing I would have done was gone to her. And then we both would have prayed about it. We both would have prayed about it. So God would have answered me and he would have answered her. And we would be on the same accord. It would have been the same. It would be the same. The response would have been the same. And then I could come back to you and said, no, this didn't make sense because you only make $30,000 and you liked it for a $67,000 car. I'm sorry to laugh, but I can't help it.
But Jack, to me, now this is my opinion, and Jack, I don't mean to offend you in any way, but my experience.
You're not offending me.
Women are a lot more practical when it comes to finances than a lot of men are. That's just been my experience with them. So I don't mean to offend you being a man. I'm saying that. So
you're not offending me.
Women are what?
More practical when it comes to finances, you know, than some men are. So, Jack, I think if you had gone to your wife about your brother wanting this car, and your wife knows your brother, and no, he ain't making that much money, and he's renting a house, and he's struggling over here, now you think your wife is really going to say, well, let's pray about it? She's going to tell you straight up no.
Well, maybe, see, you got to understand what I was saying earlier, that walk from before, we probably would have been at that point where she probably said no right off the bat. But now we have to consult him. And then I believe that he would have directed our path. We're both up to say the same thing. We'd have come to some type of an agreement where, no, we're not going to do this. You know, God has directed us not to go down that lane. Now, even though I love my brother, but I would have to share with him, you know, I've had an experience like this before in real life. Right, and we had to tell a family member no. But another family member, I said yes. And as I mentioned, I got bitten by that. But you know what? You can't worry about it. You just have to write it off and keep doing what you have to do. And you learn from experience.
I would love to put you on the spot if I could. Assuming that you're married, Jack, you're married.
Okay, yeah, I am. Let me clear that up.
Is your wife nearby, Jack? I just want to ask her a question.
Is she nearby? Is she nearby? Let me see if she's there.
Ladies, I want to bring you in here. Ladies, you have to pray about it for your brother. But go ahead and you know, he wants to do, you know,
say that one more time.
Do you need to go in prayer and pray for your brother? He wants you to co-sign for his Lamborghini. Do you need to pray about that, to co-sign for him? When you know he's not making enough money, you know, why not, Lady C? Why
because
not?
I'm no fool to do it.
Okay. She straight up told you no. That's what I'm saying. Women are a lot more practical. So, Jack, Lady C, right, stand by. Jack, did you find her? Is your wife on?
She's on another line. Uh-huh.
So this is how we went to, let's go to another phone line. We're going to go to North Carolina. Christy, welcome to tonight's broadcast. We got Christy on the line tonight. If you're just joining us, financial tips on improving your lifestyle and credit portfolio. Christy, we want to ask you a question. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
So it's kind of difficult because we're international right now. Well, Christy, I want to ask you this, and we've had many of our callers tonight have said they've got to take it in prayer. And I'm thinking, Christy, let's say you got a brother that you love very much, right? Now, he's making only $37,000 a year. He's struggling out there, right? But he wants a Lamborghini, which costs $67,000. He wants you to co-sign, Christy. Now, do you need to pray about that, Christy, to co-sign for him? The payments are like $1,500 a month.
To be honest, I feel that people should live within their means. I heard what Jack said, and I'm not sure whether I heard the other lady whether I was on or not. But I feel that people should live within their means. And if I know that he's already struggling, me personally, no, I would say no straight up, okay? Because why am I going to go for... Okay, yes, it's my brother, and I love him. But people should be within reason when they're going out to ask somebody, family member or a friend, to do something that's realistic. To me, that's probably would have been a want, not a need, okay? It makes a difference. And you buy what you – and you stay with – and people should live within their budget. Like me personally, I wouldn't even go out there and buy nothing so ridiculous, okay? But that sound like probably – it probably would have been more of a want than a need.
Right.
So I would have said no from the beginning.
So you don't need to go to prayer. You don't need to go to God in prayer about that.
It's realistic. I mean, you struggling, and then but just to have the audacity to come and ask somebody to do something so ridiculous, they don't even need to do that. That's ridiculous.
So, Christy, are you telling me, Christy, that if I'm your brother and I'm only making $37,000, you know I'm struggling, but I say, Christy, you know, girl, I've always wanted a Lamborghini because Floyd Mayweather
again,
has a Lamborghini.
It's a want.
Right.
So if you want that, then you got to go ahead and get some several jobs to get it. Okay, so you're my brother. So why am I going to put myself in debt? Because sure enough, I already know from straight up now that you can't afford it. So then if I co-sign, who is it going to be on in reality?
Okay.
In reality. So I will say straight up, no. I love you, brother, but come on, be realistic, okay?
But Christy,
I can't do it. Now, you might have some other family members that are able to.
But, Christy, aren't you supposed to bear my burdens, even if
okay,
they're financial?
That's not a burden. That's not a burden. That's a want. That's not a need. Now, a car is a need, but it's a car within. If you got to be an old car, I done had old cars until I could do better, okay?
Right.
I didn't go out there and buy a Mercedes when I had, what they call it, money that could only get a 1994.
Right. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by, Christy. Jack, I want to bring you back in. Jack, is Tim Christy bear her burden if he wants that Lamborghini? If he can't afford to pay for it after 2 months, shouldn't Christy just pick up the payment and bear his burden?
No, I don't agree with that because, like she said, I can understand when some of them are saying that you live within your means and realistically he can't afford that. I mean, you can see that. He may not think that. He may think that later on down the line he's going to get a raise and he can afford it. But you said it's $1,500 a month. And I know if he has other bills, there's no way on God's earth that he can afford that. So, yes, I'm going to pray about it, but my mind probably was made up from the beginning that I knew he couldn't afford it to begin with. But I just prayed about it because I take everything before the Lord, and that's not being cliche, that's being for real. Mm-hmm.
We're going to ask you to stand by. We appreciate, Christy's thoughts on that. We appreciate all of you all thoughts on it. We got to take some of the comments that are coming to the studio tonight. Let's go with first. Lady Lynn, we're going to send this out to you, and we're almost out of time here. This male writes in. He says, financial tips on improving your financial lifestyle and credit portfolio. I improved my financial portfolio by cutting up my credit card and applying for debit cards only, like Dennis on the block. It made a significant difference in my spending. Lady Lynn, do you think that's important? He cut up his card.
That's important, especially if, I mean, for people who And I'm not saying this about him per se, but just people who either lack self-control or, you know, if you know that card's in there, you're going to want to go and you're going to want to swipe it or you're going to want to spend. So cutting it up is just a way of not using it. But this day and age, we shop on the Internet, so cutting it up wouldn't really matter. You really have to get rid of them or close the account or give it to somebody else or freeze it in your freezer or do something else where you can't have access to it at all if you really wanted to get away from it, because cutting it up is not going to do a whole lot of good.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. Teresa, we're going to bring you in for this next comment. My husband and I broke up over his excessive gambling, causing us senior financial debt. I eventually consolidated everything and created a workable budget that I stayed on for over 3 years and it worked. How important is the budget, Ms. Teresa?
I couldn't hear you. Something, it dropped out. You said he cut up, he took them in debt because of gambling.
How important is a budget, to establish a budget in terms of financial tips on improving your lifestyle? A budget.
Very important.
Okay. Why?
Because you have to budget for everything, and the first budget is your tithe. You have to start with your tithe. I'm going to go back to that tithe, Malachi 3:10, bringing all the tithe into the storehouse, that there be meat in my house, and prove me, saith the Lord, I will pour you out a blessing, but you won't have room to receive. So it starts there. You put God first, and he blesses your entire income. And that way you can budget.
Right,
can I say something?
Let's bring in, let's go ahead and bring, who is that? Somebody wanted to come in.
I wanted to come in. This is Lady C. Okay.
Lady C, go ahead. Go ahead.
I just want to comment on the tithing, okay? I understand people want to, you know, always want to say tithing is the first thing. Just know, y'all, tithing doesn't have to necessarily mean your money. You know, that could be, tithing could be other things. Just always bring yourself back to the Bible whenever they were giving away lambs and stuff like that, silver, you know? That type of stuff was considered tithing. It's something, tithing is something that you give from the heart. Not necessarily money, okay? That's in my opinion.
All right,
the Bible says tithing is monetary.
Thank you. What'd you say now?
What'd you say? To, if you have a thought on that one. If not, we'll bring in Mr. Reese or anyone else. The tithing always has to be money.
The tithing is our first tenth of our increase that we
first fruit.
Back to the so that the first fruits, right, like you're saying. So we're to get that. Now we do other things. Now we do have to do other things. So it takes time away from that too. You don't spend so much time. I'm trying to think of something else, another scenario, but it does include a lot of things. It's not just the funds. It's those other things that we have to do. Give a tenth of the Lord your time. Yeah, thank you, Lord. We give him some of our time. We do other things. We go out there witnessing for him, and we spend
yes.
a certain time on the day doing all of that. So all of that's involved with like tithing and giving back to the Lord. Because we don't pay tithing. We don't pay tithing. We return tithing. It's not something you
right. We don't
now,
pay tithing.
It's a blessing now that you freely give. You freely get receive. You freely get. Now is when the blessings comes in, when you're giving that liberal offering. That's when the blessings comes in at. And no one can tell you exactly how much. It's your relationship with God. That's basically where you are when it comes to the offering now. But the tenth is not ours to begin with. That goes to him. But the other
yeah.
part of it is when we're supporting the church and other things.
Mm-hmm. We still got a little bit more to cover. Ms. Jay, we're going to ask you to close us out tonight. Ms. Jay, on improving financial tips on improving your financial lifestyle and credit portfolio, and even if you want to do a synopsis of what the things that we've covered, that's fine too. And that'll be in about 8.5 minutes. This female writes in, Benny from the Block, this one's for you. She says, I established some internal accounts that included an emergency fund and petty cash at home. This worked very well for me and my family. Benny from the Block, how important is it for a petty cash and emergency fund, in your opinion?
It's one of the most important things you can have in your life. You must Amen. Have an emergency fund. And typically, an emergency fund is anywhere between 1 to 3 months of your salary overall for the year. And that's just in case anything happens, an emergency, a family, you know, death, you have to get away quick, a tragedy with the car. You should always have an emergency fund set aside so that you're not strapped to have to come up with money very quickly or have to go get into these deadly, expensive loans and end up paying like three times the amount of the loan. So, yeah, that's very, very important. I encourage everybody to do that. Like Lady C said, if you save $100 a month, that can make a significant difference in your life.
And that's what Lady C was saying earlier. Ms. J, I want to bring you in here. Petty cash, is that different, Ms. J, in your opinion, as Jenny from the blog pointed out, is that different from an emergency? And if so, help me see it, Ms. J.
Petty cash to me is emergency fund for me because I consider myself to have petty cash. I always have cash around for emergencies. So much. Oh, and it's always good to have that to me, you know, in case you can't get somewhere right quick, you need $20, $100 or whatever. And it's quickly available. So.
Let's see if we can get a different, somebody else's opinion on that. Christy, let's bring you in. Christy, is petty cash different from an emergency fund to you? Because it's different from me. Emergency fund is emergency fund, funds that are set aside that in the event of an emergency, I can go straight to that account. Petty cash is like I've got money here for my wants, for my, you know, not the Lamborghini, but things that I might want some ice cream or go out, and it might cost me $60 for that evening. That's my petty cash. Christy, do you see petty cash different from an emergency fund?
Well, it depends on how that person wants to, you know, that's their own budget. If some want to say, I mean, because I do have petty cash money that I have here at the house, and then I have something in the bank that I consider as emergency fund. So whichever way a person wants to have it within their household budget, you know, it's really up to that person. Like that lady just said, her petty cash is her emergency money. So it just depends on the person. You know, if you have all your money stuck at your house and you don't have any set aside somewhere else, then you might be more skeptical of spending that and not realizing, oh, man, I've spent that, and I don't have any other extra money set aside anywhere. So it just depends on the person how they want to handle it within their household budget. But, no, me personally, I always have a little money here at the house, and then I consider the emergency money, you know, somewhere. Well, of course, you could go to the bank and draw it out, but I consider that in an institution. Even nowadays, you got to steal your debit card, too, that you could just go to the store and use that as well. But, you know, that's just considered in a bank where you could feel accessible to it as well.
Excellent. We're going to ask you to stand by, Christy. Let's go to let's go over here to Sister Marva. Sister Marva, I want to bring you in for this comment. This lady sends in her comment. She said, well, this male, this guy, he says, my wife and I got financial help from a consumer agency that helped people consolidate their debt through settlement. We were able to settle over $50,000 in debt to $18,000. He said, my point is, don't go at it alone. Sister Marva, how important is it to get some help when you're in financial ruin?
I really don't know, but I think that biblically, if you borrow some money, you should pay it back. It says a wicked man borrows and payeth it not. You know, so you really should try to pay off what you owe. But they have all those credit things out there, consolidation. I don't think it's biblical.
Right. Okay. We're going to
ask just my thought.
Lady Lynn, I want to bring you in and with the same question. They say that they were able to get help from a consumer agency where they settled their $1 in debt down to $18,000. Is it wrong not to pay that full $50,000 that you once owed? Or isn't that what the laws are out there for to help you? Like bankruptcy. And quickly, please.
It's not wrong to do that if they can negotiate with your creditors, because that's what creditors do. They negotiate. A lot of that money is interest anyways, so if they dwindle it down to what you really actually owe and they can work it out for you, then that's fine. But be aware when you do that, you are messing up your credit for the future. It's just as bad as having a bankruptcy.
Oh, okay. Well, Okay, well, you know, I feel a little differently, but thank you for the
Sometimes a second job,
even if need be, a third job is needed for some people. It depends on their lifestyle.
Absolutely. We're going to ask you to stand by. We're out of time. We're going to have Ms. J close us out tonight. Ms. J.
Okay. Know your limit when it comes to spending. You cannot spend more than what you can bring in without being in debt. So try to stay from unnecessary debt. Plan a budget. Watch credit card usage. Save. Start early, especially for your retirement. And make good judgment on adding people to your credit, like, you know, co-signing for them like we talked about. And always remember that good credit is vital to having a good lifestyle without financial worries. And that's it.
All right. On that note, we're clearly out of time. We will be back in the United States of America next Thursday to bring you the show live. We just want to thank all of you all for joining us tonight from our international quarters. And it is a pleasure to have brought you all the show for these past 2 weeks while we were here. We look forward to being back with you all next week. Please join us at that time. Join us here tomorrow night. We'll be back here tomorrow night, still broadcasting from the international area where we are.
I'm with you.
But tonight, tomorrow night's topic is, does God have a financial plan for us here on earth? You don't want to miss tomorrow night's topic. Of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow night's topic, join us back here next Thursday when we'll be back in Florida to bring you the Dr. Deshwalk Show. Until tomorrow night or until next Thursday, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. Good night, Dr. Walker.
Marjorie, I was holding on. I didn't hear you. I don't know what happened, but I'll call you. Thank you. Bye-bye.